Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome to the Azure Podcast. Today is Wednesday, October 3rd, and this is episode 249. And we're going to be talking about managed identities today. So, we've got Kale's here today, Cynthia's here, Sajid had a customer meeting, and Kendall, I think, had a meeting as well. She couldn't make it. Let's talk about new stuff first. So it looks like everybody is tired and exhausted post-Ignite, because there was very, very few things announced over the last week or so. Cynthia, you want to hit something first?
Yeah, definitely. So something that I have to talk about is the preview of a new commandlet in the Azure RM automation. So now you're able to use commandlets to set up software updates or source control for your automation account. And that just came out last Wednesday.
I'm actually surprised they managed to go this long without one. I guess I always assumed there was. I was surprised that we're just not releasing
preview. But I think the preview was like there are certain new commandlets that came out. So I think they majority of like DSC, but now they have things that you can use a commandlet to onboard some of your VMs so that they go through the regular updates for your machine.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, cool. Kale, I'm sure there's some blockchain thing out there that has happened. Oh, he looks like Kale might be having some audio problems. So, yeah, so there's nothing cool and awesome about blockchain. Ah, darn, he's back.
There's plenty of awesome there. But before we get to the awesome of blockchain, there's actually another nice blog post I'll draw everyone to. We'll put in the show notes. It's called Fuel My Awesome, which is celebrating developers and what makes them awesome. And if you take a look at that, it's pretty cool. So basically, I think it's October 8th, starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time, the Microsoft Dev tweet will basically be uncovering what they call zones and all kinds of wins. So basically, take a look at that thing. Essentially, what you can do is reply with you know, why developers are awesome and things like that, and GIFs and all kinds of different things up there. And there'll be prizes and all kinds of things going on there. So take a look at it. I think it's pretty cool to kind of celebrate developers.
Yeah, that is neat. I guess so it sounds like this happened previously. I don't recall it from last year, but maybe I just missed it.
Yeah, I don't remember it either, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
okay.
On the blockchain side of the world, as you mentioned, so Matt Kerner, our fearless leader, the GM in the Azure global space, who leads the blockchain efforts at Microsoft, is basically talking a bit about, you know, the team being in Orlando for Ignite last week, Satya mentioning in the keynote, you know, about the progress around building blockchain in Azure and building new business solutions on it. And we had some kind of nice wins to share out there from different real-world use cases, including, you know, the Maersk shipping industry that we've went live with, the Webjets, which were basically a hotel chain that went live, and then internally our Xbox team using it for royalty payments, leveraging blockchain technology, and speaks a bit to our tooling that we've kind of built as part of Microsoft, the Azure Blockchain Workbench, which essentially just makes it easier for people to come into the space and start building applications and using this complicated technology. So take a look at that. There's a lot of good links out there to the success stories and the tooling that we're building there.
Yeah, cool. Cool. And then the other thing that we've got is, and I can't remember the name of the company that we bought a couple of years ago, but, you know, so Azure Cost Management is now in, I don't know if it's in preview. Yeah, it's in preview now. But this is all about kind of help you predict and manage the cost of your resources, right? So the upside to all cloud-based products like this, right, is you pay for what you use. The downside is if you use a lot or you're not paying attention to what you're consuming, you will pay a lot, right? So this is all about helping people kind of predict what they're using and identify opportunities for cost savings, all the like. So definitely, and this stuff is integrated into the Azure portal now. So definitely go check that stuff out. Okay, great. So that's our new announcements. So let's get over to our special guest today. Arturo, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and then tell us what your work, what we're going to talk about today.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, first of all, thank you for having me. My name is Arturo Lucatero. I'm one of the program managers here in the Azure Active Directory team. I focus specifically on some of the things that we do for using identity features for Azure specifically. And so my main feature is called Managed Identities for Azure Resources, basically recently renamed to give some more clarity. You might have heard it before as Managed Service Identity, reusing the well-known acronym MSI, and so now you'll hear that throughout as Managed Identities for Azure Resources.
Great. Yeah, no, so when would we, I kind of have this vague recollection of MSIs. They never got a ton of traction, but there were some, like SQL used to use them and whatnot. Where would I see a Managed Service Identity in this day and age?
Yeah, so Managed... Managed identities, right? They're the way that we're thinking about it is we enable Azure services, Azure resources, to communicate to other cloud service providers or services in the, that are available without needing to put credentials in their code. And so as a result, the places where you're going to find a managed identity available is anywhere where you can go and run code or run a workload that needs to go and talk to another cloud service. For example, virtual machine, an app service, an Azure function, a virtual machine skill set. Those are kind of the places that are available right now. You're going to see more and more services come up as we go forward and as this becomes more adapted throughout Azure.
So, Arturo, I had a question. So I'm reading a little bit about Managed Identity, and it says that it's different than Service Principal. Could you kind of explain the difference between them?
Yeah.
Why would we would use one instead of the other?
Sure. So one of the beauties behind, you know, a managed identity versus a service principal just as itself is that managed portion that we take advantage, that we do the management and of it. Now, to be clear, behind the scenes, a managed identity is just a service principal. Right. So if we compare what you can do today with a service principal by itself is you can go and create one. You can go create one through Azure AD. And then you can take advantage of that service principal by getting some credentials for it and then giving that authorization to authenticate to maybe a cloud service. And then you need to leverage those credentials to go and talk to it. As part of you creating that service principal, you're also responsible for the rotation of the credentials, keeping them safe, cleaning them up. You know, if the day that you decide that you no longer need the service principal, you need to go and delete it and all that kind of stuff. A managed identity is basically, a service principal that we take over, right? We own the service principal in a way, but in order for us to manage all that I just talked about, the credential rotation, the cleanup, the creation, all of that is taken care of by us. And so the only thing that you need to worry about is telling us what resource needs to use this identity and then what resource do you want to talk to using this identity. So we do basically another level that takes over for all those management pieces.
So I think about this, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like, you know, in the past, I'm talking like years ago, when we built server-based applications, a lot of times what we needed was, you know, to have maybe a computer instead of a user actually making calls and doing things across to other computers potentially. And it feels like this managed service kind of, that's where this wouldn't be nice to fit in. Because if we did that right now, like we could just create an identity or a service principal. But as you said, then we have to kind of maintain that. And, you know, if we have a password policy and when we change it and stuff, and this kind of, that's the kind of, is that the managed part of this? That's what that kind of means when it's a managed identity?
That's correct. That is one of the big benefits, right? That now you don't have to worry about that. The way that we think about it a lot of times, it's imagine it's you're having a robot do a lot of workloads, right? And they're running on some server, meaning a virtual machine or an app service or something like that, right? And it's a robot that is doing authentications and trying to communicate to, let's say, storage or Key Vault or what have you. And you probably don't want to have them running with a user account. You probably also don't want to, you know, have to be every couple months going in and resetting the credentials and making those changes. And so that's where this managed identity comes into play really nicely, because you just go and enable the identity for that resource, let's say for that virtual machine, and then you just are making calls to authenticate to storage or Key Vault or whatever it is using that identity. We take care of the rotating the credentials and doing everything in the background so that your robot or your workload continues to work, for however long you need it to do.
And drilling into that a little bit further then, so you're saying that Microsoft will manage it and rotate the credentials. Is there any configuration there? Like, I understand that that will roll and just happen automatically, but is there like, well, you can set it for every 30 days or every 5 days or every 1 month, or yeah. Is it kind of static, you know?
Great question. Today we don't have a way for you to configure when do you want those credentials to expire and to rotate, and it's mainly due to a couple reasons. So one is that those credentials for those service principals are not available to the end user. We basically will store them, we'll keep them in a safe location. So we haven't looked into whether should we allow you to have that granularity of when you want to roll over. Might be something that we can think about, but as of now, there is no way for you to go in to find it in the port.
Just out of curiosity, as someone who's never really used managed identities before, what is the reason why people wouldn't be using this? Because it seems like it's a very secure solution. So what is the, I guess, maybe not necessarily competing offers,
yeah.
But what is the reason why people aren't, why isn't everyone using this?
A couple things. One is we are still fairly new, and I think people are still trying to understand managed identities and trying to wrap their head around how does this, you know, come into play with their workloads. That's one. And then the other one is the reality of what we're trying to do is we're trying to break a habit of, you know, let me go create a service principal and that's the thing that I know how to do and go and put it in, go and take the keys or the certificate or whatever it is and put it in my code. And so we're trying to basically change that behavior, because of what has been done for so long into now taking advantage of managed identities. The other thing is, you know, in transparency is right now, there is a little bit of it's not straightforward if you're developing an application on your, let's say, your local dev box, and then you're trying to kind of debug that and try it, you know, and see how it works, and then you're deploying it to Azure. That transition from being on a local machine and then moving it over to Azure to use a managed identity, I think we still might need to go and clarify a couple different things on it, mainly because managed identities only run on Azure, right? They're an Azure AD functionality, so your workload needs to be running on there on a virtual machine, a function, or app service. But overall, I think a lot of the reason why we're still seeing people that are, you know, early in that adoption is because of awareness. And so we're working to kind of get the word out there, show people how it is, you know, for you to go and use a managed identity in place of just regular service principles. And we're hoping that we'll see more people discovering it. And overall, we've seen great adoption. Recently, as we've been doing, you know, we've been putting a lot of our documentation there and tutorials and things for people to use it. And then lastly, you know, the reality is right now we're available on virtual machines, app services, and functions, and we have a lot of interest and we've been getting asked about, hey, this is great, but I want to continue to see it on more Azure services. You know, I use automation, I use Azure Batch and all these different things. And so we're working with the right teams to get those integrations coming.
So when you're using this, you know, so these are identities that live in the customer's tenant. And a lot of our customers have, you know, back when you and I first met, right, I was supporting Azure Active Directory. And we have a lot of customers that have rules about, you know, what your password must be and
yep.
That kind of stuff. Because these identities are in their tenant, does it inherit honoring all those rules by default? Or does that kind of go back to what you were talking before about giving people control over the rotation, but also making sure that over time, making sure that it's meeting the compliance rules that the customer wants set up for their tenant?
So one of the things about this is these, and I don't know if it was the example you were using, but the service principals don't have necessarily a password, right? You can't go
right.
use it by itself. Now, besides that, there is obviously maybe compliance questions on to make sure that those service principals are adhering to them in that customer tenant. And I think that's something that we might need to go and look at more. But overall, we're basically trying to follow, you know, the best practices as much as possible in terms of what does this service principle that is getting created in the customer tenant look like. The other thing I would say is one of the things we've done is these service principles that we create for managed identities are of a special type. And of, because of their, they're of that special type, they're a little bit more locked down in the way that they could be, you know, handled and deleted and things like that. And it, and it's been done to make sure that, you know, a service principle for a managed identity doesn't get misused for, let's say, another purpose. And so, we're trying to be as intentional as possible to make sure that these service principles are dedicated exclusively for these managed identities. And then from the managed identity perspective, then the user, the admin can come in and say, I need this, I don't need this, please delete it, things like that.
Right. I mean, this feels a little bit like, and I think you kind of answered it right. And they're just handled differently, right? So they're fundamentally different than user accounts. This feels a little bit like the old network service account, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the day where it had a password, but you never saw it.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The machine, the environment knew about it, because at the end of the day, it's a lot simpler to call the underlying APIs that are built assuming username and a password.
Yeah.
You're just calling it with this, you know, either ridiculously long and dynamically generated one that nobody ever knows except for the machine itself, right? The OS itself, right? That type of stuff. It feels very similar to that.
Yeah, and to be clear, when we're talking about how you, let's say, how are you going to use a managed identity, right? If we talk about a virtual machine as the example, well, the way that you interact with it is you make a call to a local endpoint and say, hey, I need a token for my managed identity and I need to go and talk to storage. And so you'll get back a token for that identity that has been basically built for or created for that,
right?
That resource, which is storage. That's what you're going to get for that. For that identity, you're not going to get the underlying credentials that say, okay, what's the certificate that I need in order to go and get a token? You just get the token itself, and then you can use that to go and make the proper calls. You know, once that token expires after an hour, you can come back to that local endpoint and get a new one. That's the model you're going to see in most of the in all of the services that support managed identities, where the user doesn't get access to the underlying credentials. It just gets access to tokens and they can go and do that. And it's part, and it's built in by design in order for us to be able to keep that abstraction to say, yeah, you never get access to the credentials. So you can't see them, you don't expose them, things like that.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, that makes total sense. What is it? I mean, so, and you may or may not be able to, you know, drill into this point, but what does this mean? This feels like this has the potential to increase the scale that I could theoretically go and, you know, if I could have more resources, more VMs in this case, like we were talking about, all hitting Azure Active Directory without really increasing the load underneath the covers, because you're able to do some optimization and whatnot. Yeah. And so is part of this about Azure Active Directory figuring out how to scale more and more and more and service more and more of these requests? Or is that just a byproduct of the way it ended up getting implemented?
I might not be understanding the question properly.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking about is, like, because you're implementing at the platform layer, right, my app, when I write it, doesn't have to know, doesn't have to care. I can put this on as many machines as I want. I don't have to worry about managing it, controlling it, nothing. It just scales up, and the underlying platform infrastructure handles that for me. And
absolutely.
So it can scale to whatever it has to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, in that sense, right, like we are absolutely taking advantage of the way that Azure AD can scale and serving requests, right? We know that, you know, you can create based on your tier of your Azure AD. I think only the Azure AD free is the one that has a limit of objects that you can create. Besides that, you can create like an unlimited number of objects. And so we're definitely taking advantage of that to be able to say, hey, you know, if you have N number of VMs, go and give an identity to all of them and go and, you know, run your workloads, go get tokens for those identities, go and do what you need to do. And Azure AD will be able to scale and support that.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about managing that at that point
in any
shape or form. I have 10,000 machines. Great. I got 10,000 manage identities at that point.
Mm-hmm. And great, you know, great point that you bring up. There's two types of managed identities. There's one that is called system assigned, And this one is in a type of managed identity that has a, the same life cycle as its parent resource. And when I say parent resource, it's, let's say, a VM. When you go and create a VM, or you go and you can go and update it, it doesn't have to be during create, you can go and say, please give this VM a system assigned managed identity. And we, what we do is insert, you know, we go back, we create the service principle and everything that we do, but we tie it to that resource in the sense that only that VM can ever have access to tokens for that service principle. They can only be, they can be the only ones requesting tokens for that identity. Then you can come and tell us, you know what? I no longer need the VM. Let me go delete the VM. And the day that you delete the VM, we do the proper cleanup. We clean up the identity. We get rid of it so that you don't have to worry about it. So the lifecycle is 100% tied to that resource. Now there's another type of managed identities, which is called user assigned. And user assigned managed identities, those are standalone Azure resources where you go to the portal or whatever interface you're looking at, portal, CLI, PowerShell, SDKs, and you can go and say, please create me a managed identity. And you go create a user assigned managed identity. It shows up in the portal, and then you get to choose what resources have access to it. You can say, I want this, you know, this one VM, or I want this five VMs or 10 VMs or whatever it is to be able to request tokens for this identity. And so then those get added to that VM, and you can go and then make token requests by saying, I have this access to this identity, let me go get access to it. The cool thing about it is that, you know, both types of identities have their great use cases, right? System assigned, again, because the day you get rid of the VM, we clean it up for you, makes it super convenient. Now, user assigned, the convenience on it is that if you were to have 10,000 VMs, then maybe you don't want to have to go and give those 10,000 VMs each an identity to their own, and then go and give all of them permissions to storage, right? What you can do is you can create one user assigned identity, you give it permissions to storage, or key vault, or whatever it is, and then you go and get, you know, and you add that identity to all those 10,000 VMs. Now, all of those VMs can make token requests for that identity, go talk to storage. So it's a little bit of a, you know, one identity for many VMs. If you're deleting VMs every day and you're creating new ones, then you can continue to use the same identity, which has the permissions already all set up.
That's really cool. The other question I would have too, that I think our listeners would appreciate, is how do I take advantage of this? Like, is it something like when I provision resources, like if I provision a VM or I provision some resource in Azure, in that little, you know, left margin where we have all those settings and things, is it something I would find there, or is it something I have to do with the script, or does it vary, or how do I start using it? Yeah.
Great question. So, if you go to I'll answer with the first question, or the one answer, which is, if you go to our documentation, it's aka.ms/Azure-managed-identity, you're going to find all the different ways that you can go and enable or create a enable a system assigned or create a user assigned. Basically, we cover both the portal, CLI, PowerShell, SDKs, and how you would go do it, and templates and things like that. Now, at the same time, if, you know, what, to answer your specific question is, through the portal, there's a couple ways you can go and do it. If you're going through the create experience of a VM, in fact, the new create experience of the VM has us in one of the options to go and say enable system assigned. And then once you're in the resource itself, on the left nav, or that list of resources on the left, there's going to be an item called identity. In that item called identity is where you're going to find everything related to system assigned or user assigned, depending on what resource it is and whether they support both or not. So for VMs today, you can see that experience. And then that experience is going to be coming to all the other resources. So more and more resources, as they continue to support managed identities, you're going to see that familiar experience that is going to be on the left nav under identity, and you can go and enable it, disable it. There's really no requirements that say, hey, you need to, only when you create an identity, that's when you, or sorry, only when you create a resource, that's when you can enable the identity. You can go and do these things on the fly as an update to the resource, or things like that.
Great. Now that's an awesome introduction to it. I'm my head's just kind of thinking of all the scenarios where I would have been able to use this in the past when I was sitting around going, well, how do I build my code so I don't have a password in it? And this, you know, this certainly is one of the ways to handle that, right? So,
absolutely.
This is great. Arturo, thank you for coming. Anybody else have any last questions for him?
No, I think this was outstanding. Thanks for coming on and giving our listeners a little taste for this service, because I think it's something definitely in the enterprise space that users will appreciate. It's probably one of those little unsung heroes that, like you said, maybe not everybody knows about right now. And I think trying to get some exposure out here to these kind of best practices and what these tools were designed for, super important. So thanks for sharing
that. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And the last thing I'll add is, so I was at Ignite last week, and I'm sure everybody's, overloaded with all the Ignite announcements. But one of the things we announced last week, and it's in one of my sessions, was that system assigned managed identities with virtual machines and virtual machine skill sets is now in GA. It had been in preview for a while, and so now it's officially in GA, and I wanted to call that out, for all of you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Send it. We'll send us a link to the your sessions, and we'll definitely include them when we post this, and we'll put them in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, folks. Thanks, Arturo. Good to talk to everybody again.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Yeah, great show, folks. Arturo, you need.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at @AzurePodcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.